In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. After the Second World War, there was a housing shortage here in the United States, and it kind of makes sense if you think about it. After all, we had spent 4 years in the war building things other than houses. Other things were considered to be more important. And this followed the Great Depression, where there weren't a lot of houses built during that either. And finally, you had millions of men coming out of the armed forces, getting married and starting families, and they needed a place to live. So there was a lot of pressure on the housing market. And people came up with all sorts of really interesting ways to deal with it. One of them was to buy a plot of land and then just build the foundations. In other words, the basement. They build a basement, they put a roof on the foundations, and there'd be like a stairway going to nowhere, a door that just went down. And the idea was that you would live in the house until you could put enough money away in order to build the rest of it. Because you got to remember, in the old days too, you had to have quite a substantial down payment before you could get a mortgage and build a house and buy or build a house. The funny thing was, some of those houses never got finished. And if you're driving, you'll occasionally run across one of them. There are a couple down in Salt Lake, there's one up in Brigham City, there's one somewhere in Ogden. I can't remember exactly where it is. But you can see it, and they're the most remarkable things. It looks like, someone snuck up to the house in the middle of the night with a trailer and a crane and stole the house. I remember the first time I saw one, I was a kid, and I asked my grandmother what it was about. She explained it to me. I thought it was the funniest thing I ever heard of. Every time I went by one, it would just make me giggle. And, when I think about those houses, I think about the words of our Lord about building a tower. Who among you, if you're going to build a tower, doesn't sit down and figure out if you can finish it first before you begin the construction? Otherwise, people will come by and point and laugh and say, this one began to build, but did not have the resources to finish. Our Lord wasn't giving good construction advice, though it is good construction advice. Rather, this and the other figures that he uses in today's gospel, the other parables, speak about the greater work that each one of us is engaged upon, which is being a follower of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And he's cautioning us that it is a great work that will require a great cost. And he's telling us that it would be better for us not to begin if we don't have enough put away and enough willingness to finish that great work. And so we must ask ourselves, what must I give? What must I have? What must I be willing to give away in order to be truly a disciple of the Lord Jesus? And the answer is potentially everything. You have to be willing to give everything or give away everything, not just material things, but even relationships, in order to follow our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. May even have to give up family members. Who are you going to choose, Jesus or the relationship? Because there are occasions where, and it's usually not the fault of the Christian, it's the fault of the other person who says, you either buy into my life 100% and totally accept everything I do, or I don't want to have anything to do with you. Now we as Christians, of course, can love someone without approving of everything in their lives. One way of putting it is, love the sinner, hate the sin. But it also means that you don't have to approve of everything about a person in order to approve them as a person. But there are those that's not good enough for. You have to either have to be 100% with them, or you can't be with them at all. Jesus also tells us that we have to be willing to take up our crosses and follow after him. And we're all going to have a cross. Some of them are going to be little. Some of them are going to be very big indeed. But none of them are going to be made out of styrofoam, with a nice little padded armrest, shoulder rest, little wheel on the end. They don't come that way. We have to be willing to take up our crosses daily and follow after the Lord Jesus if we want to be one of his disciples. It's a very scary thing to be a follower of the Lord Jesus. It requires a lot of us. And we would do well to think about what we would be willing to give up now rather than wait upon the crisis situation. It's one of the reasons why in the military they have all sorts of training, so that when one of those crisis situations arises, you know what you can do. You don't have to sit there and think, what am I going to do? You just do it. It's also one of the reasons why professional pilots have to go to what's called flight safety school, and they have these simulators, and they throw all sorts of disasters at the pilots so that they know how to handle it before it happens for real. So think about it now. Can you do it? Can you give up everything for the Lord Jesus? Are you willing to pay the price? Now, you may not have to. Not everyone is going to have to give up all or even most of their possessions. But some of you might. Suppose in your job you're required to do something illegal or immoral. And so you say, I can't do that, and you get fired. And then you can't get hired for another job except flipping burgers. And then guess what? You lose your house, you lose your car, you lose all your material possessions. Now, would it be better to say that, well, I'm just going to go along because I don't want to lose my job? No, you can't do that. Jesus comes first. You may not have to give up your family members, but you might. Some of you know my own story. When I became a Catholic, things got decidedly cool with my father's side of the family. When I went to the seminary, I got a letter from my grandmother telling me to drop off the face of the earth. Now, I could have just said, oh, Grandma, I was wrong. I won't do that. Do I really want to go before the Lord Jesus and say, she was more important than you are? No. And you may not have to lay down your life for the faith, but you might. Think about that priest who was martyred not too long ago over in Normandy in France. Do you think for a moment that he went to say Mass that morning thinking, oh good, today is the day I'm going to get my head cut off by a bunch of Muslims? No. And yet, when he came to that point, he rebuked them in the name of the Lord Jesus, and he died rather than deny the faith. And many of our fellow Christians are doing the same thing throughout the world. Maybe not to the point of dying, but they are being discriminated against, and they are suffering rather than deny the Lord Jesus Christ. And don't make the mistake of thinking it's not coming here to the United States. After all, we now live in a country where the government thinks it can force nuns to buy birth control. And not just nuns, they think they can force you and me to pay for it. And one of the presidential candidates thinks it would be a great idea to require all of us to fund abortions. You probably won't need to lay down your life, but you will be looked down upon. You will be marginalized for the sake of the gospel. But what do you want? Do you want to get invited to the right cocktail parties? Or do you want to go to the wedding feast of the Lamb? So what will you do? I don't know, and neither do you. None of us know what is going to happen to us when we are put to the test. But what we can do now is pray that whatever comes our way, we will be willing to give 100% for the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.